All hail the power of Jesus, name, let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem.
Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning, and welcome to you and our radio audience. We appreciate your tuning in, and we hope that you'll listen for the duration of this program, but we attempt to speak only those things from God's holy and divine word. If at any time you have a question about something that we say on this program, maybe you have a Bible question or a Bible subject that you'd like for us to deal with on the program, please feel free to contact us at the information given by the announcer, or you can contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastalbertville.org. In Exodus 32, I want us to begin reading with verse 1. Now when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, the people gathered together to Aaron and said to him, "Come, make us gods that we shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what is become of him." And Aaron said to them, "Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me." So all of the people broke off the golden earrings that were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. And he received the gold from their hand, and he fashioned it with an engraving tool, and made a molded calf. Then they said, "This is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt." So when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron proclaimed and said, "Tomorrow is a feast to be to the Lord." Then they rose early on the next day, offering burnt offerings and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to play. You know, we're told in Romans 15 and verse 4 that whatsoever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. And truly, the Bible is God's revelation of His mind, of His will. And here is what we've read in Exodus 32. It is an episode in history of man that teaches us something. You know, we live in a society that's governed by the rule of the people. We call it a democracy. And we must be aware that the voice of the people is not always right, especially when it comes to matters that God has already legislated, that God has already put into law. The voice of the people, as we've seen here in Exodus 32, can be a danger, for the very simple reason that God's ways and man's ways very often conflict with each other. In fact, we're told this in Isaiah 55, verse 8, beginning, when God said, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 25, he says, "The foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than man." And so oftentimes, it's the way that seems right to a man that only leads to death. We read this twice in Proverbs, the first time in Proverbs 12 and verse 15, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise." And then in Proverbs 16 and verse 25, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." There's a statement made also in Exodus 23 and verse 2 where the principle that was stated then is true today. "You shall not follow a crowd to do evil, nor shall you testify in a dispute so as to turn aside after many to pervert justice." See, it's not in you and I, it's not in mankind to be able to direct our own steps. Jeremiah 10 and verse 23, O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. David said in Psalms 25, verse 4, Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all of the day. Jesus said in Matthew 7, and verse 13, Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way that leads to life, and there are few who find it. See the danger of the voice of the people? See, that's why God put Christ as the head of the church, and not people, as man has done. In Matthew 28:18, Jesus declared, All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And so we're told in Ephesians 1, verses 22 and 23, that God has put all things under Christ's feet and has gave him, Christ, to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And it's in 1 Timothy chapter 6 that we read in verse 15 that he will manifest in his own time he who is blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. See the danger in all of these verses that we've looked at in comparison to what we see that happened there in Exodus 32. We see two other examples than just the one in Exodus 32. We see that, yes, there in those six verses that we read, that they demanded a god, they demanded an idol, because they supposedly thought that something had happened to Moses and he probably might not never return. And so Aaron gave in. Saul did the same thing in regards to his fear of the people. We read about this over in the book of 1 Samuel. In 1 Samuel, notice in the 15th chapter, we'll skip through here to pick up the verses that are in accordance to our study. In verse 9, we see that Samuel is speaking to Saul, rebuking Saul for his failing to obey what God commanded him to do. Saul went out to battle against the Amalekites. God promised him a victory, but God set conditions that everything of the Amalekites would be utterly destroyed. Saul did not do that. He spared the king, he spared the best of the flock, and so now it's Samuel that comes and approaches Saul concerning what he has done. And here, for instance, we read in verse 9, Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep, the oxen, the fatling, the lambs, and all that was good, and were unwilling to utterly destroy them, but everything despised and worthless, that they utterly destroyed. Then it's in verse 15 that Saul says, They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. But it's verse 21 that he says, But the people took of the plunder, sheep and oxen, the best of the things with which has been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice to the Lord God in Gilgal. But then the statement Saul said to Samuel in verse 24, he finally acknowledges, I have sinned. For I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord your God, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Another example, just like Aaron in Exodus 32, we now have King Saul here in 1 Samuel chapter 15. And then that reminds us, does it not, of our Lord. There when he stood before Pilate, Pilate, on more than one occasion, sought to seek the release of Jesus. Pilate knew that Jesus was not guilty of any sin worthy of death. It was very quick that Pilate was able to see through what the Jewish leaders were doing, They had brought Jesus to him because of envy. And yet, every time that Pilate would try to allow Jesus to go free, what we see is that the leaders stirred up the people, and the people always said, and they would repeatedly shout, "Crucify him, crucify him." So with that, for fear of raising a tumult, Pilate washed his hands and said, "I'm innocent of the blood of this just man." The voice of the people. You know, people today still demand the golden gods, and their leaders seemingly comply. We have relics and images in 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 9. It says, "For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had unto you, how that you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God." We have today, in the place of many that would be wanting their way, denominationalism. And yet it's in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10 that Paul pleaded that there be no divisions, that we speak the same thing, that we be perfectly joined together. That we don't say, "I'm of Paul, I am of Apollos, I'm of Cephas." But we need to stop and ask ourselves the questions that Paul presented. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? 2, mechanical instruments and music, and the demand for entertainment that so many people are craving for. Churches are yielding. They're yielding by the groves to yield to the whims of the people. But yet we know that the Bible says that we're to sing and make melody in our hearts unto the Lord. In Ephesians 5, verse 19. In Colossians 3, and verse 16. And that it's not the responsibility of the church to provide common meals. Because of 1 Corinthians 11, "If any man hungers, let him eat at home, that you do not come together and despise the church of God." Many churches use recreation to draw people. These forms of recreation are very carnal. They're social, they're secular, with their emphasis. And yet, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, not recreation. And certainly, we see that social meals added to this is not the drawing power of either how to bring people in or either how to keep people from leaving. And then, of course, there's always the doctrines that comes from the pulpits. In 2 Timothy, we're warned about this in chapter 4. He says in verse 3, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside unto fables." So we see then that worship isn't worship unless it is in spirit and in truth. And we know what truth is. God's word is truth. Jesus said in John 4, verse 24, "God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." God does not respect worship that is in the place of failing to go according to his will. He never accepted that kind of worship from the children of Israel all through the Old Testament, and neither does he accept it today. When Jesus said that when we began to teach for doctrines the commandments of men, our worship is vain. So to disobey God is to dishonor God. To offer worship that God has not commanded is vain worship, as we stated there in Matthew 15, verses 7 through 9. So friends, yes, people today still demand their molten gods. They influence their leaders to be permissive, and they demand organizations other than the Lord's church, and people still persecute those that are standing for the truth. Let us never yield to the pressure of compromising the truth. We see your time is gone. Thank you for listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow. It's till then that we bid you a pleasant good day, and now we turn you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 a.m. and Sunday at 8:30 a.m. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbertville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.